I remember growing up and learning Bible stories. How many of you guys learned Bible stories when you were growing up? Maybe your parents read them to you, or you had a children's Bible. I had a big Bible. I mean, it was this big, but it was only like that thick. And it had lots of really cool pictures in it, because it wasn't the whole Bible. It was just like the stories that would have been excerpted. And we got Adelaide a similar Bible that tells lots of the stories for kids to learn as they're growing up. And have any of you guys seen the YouTube video where the little girl, I don't know, how old do you think she is? 5 years old, and she talks about Jonah, and she like has all the details memorized of the story, and she's telling this story about Jonah and all the things that he went through, and she's dramatic, and she's, you know, inflecting her voice, and it's just fun to listen to. But I think it's good to teach children the stories from the Bible as they're growing up and learning that stuff, so as they become old enough to understand the concepts that they're really about, they'll understand just start building the foundation early. We don't have a children's sermon today because it's kind of a small crowd with the snow. But, I mean, I think a good lesson would be to go home and read your kids' Bible stories. But I know that they were helpful, because as I went to read the Bible for myself, there was some familiarity to it once I learned how to read and was able to read it for myself. And I think some of my favorites were obviously like David and Goliath, because it's the little guy standing up, you know, when you're a little kid and you think about the big world around you and how you're supposed to deal with whatever sort of scary things are out there. That's a good story to learn. And then Jonah and the fish, that was another one that was a favorite, was thinking about what Jonah went through out there in the ocean and then inside of a fish. Imagine, you know, I had no idea what it would be like to be on the inside. Of course, I still have no idea what it would be like to be on the inside of a fish for 3 days. But, I mean, some of those stories just, they stuck in my mind, and they were helpful to me. I mean, because, for one, to give you that, you know, that pre-knowledge about what the Bible has in it, and so it seems like more of a familiar book when you read it. But I think, you know, when we think about the Bible stories that we know and the things that we've read in the Bible and what God's Word does for us. I mean, I hope that all of you read your Bible on somewhat of a regular basis. We talked about all the rules in the Bible last week. You know, we went through God's rules and why they're important and why he, you know, that all the precepts and the commands and the laws and the different ceremonial rules that he laid down, that everything, that it affected real life, that it was, you know, there was practical purposes behind it, and there was things that were meant to improve our lives and things meant to help keep us on the straight and narrow. And so I wonder if you'd thought about that at all this week, how all the things that you've read in the Bible, how they've affected your life on a personal level. And does it make any impact on the way you think and the way you act on a daily basis? Like your time in Scripture, does it change the way you live in a practical application sort of aspect? And what's the point to reading and applying God's Word in that practical way to every day in your life? If you think about it, you know, what have you come to understand better what purpose there is to taking God's Word and applying it to your life? Have you discovered that as you've done it? Have you realized that the benefits to it in a personal way? We went through some of Psalm 119 last week, and I wonder if you've ever noticed, as you read things like that anywhere in the Bible, the kind of action words that talk about God's Word, like the way in which God's Word is supposed to affect us. Because it has lots of words, especially in that chapter, that talk about how God's Word is supposed to affect us. And what the, you know, a lot of times it comes out of what the writer was experiencing as he was writing down, as God was inspiring the people to write the words that he gave them. And how they felt about his law. You can definitely get a picture of that in Psalm 119, that he was excited about God's law. And so what the writer was experiencing as they're putting down God's inspired word in this, and this was a song. So he wrote this into a poem or a song. And let's see, verse 7 and 8 let's go back to Psalm 19, because there's some similarities between Psalm 19 and Psalm 119. And in Psalm 19, at verse 7, It says, the law of the Lord is perfect. And then it says something, the law of the Lord does something to us. The law of the Lord is perfect, refreshing the soul. And then the next sentence says, the statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. And then it says, the precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart. And the commands of the Lord are radiant, giving light to the eyes. So it talks about God's law and what it is, and you know, we hear that lots about God himself and God's word and how it's important and how it's, you know, there's meaning behind it. But then it says how it affects us or how it ought to affect us. It says it refreshes the soul. It makes the simple wise. It gives light to the eyes and gives joy to the heart. So it helps us to understand better. And Psalm 19 tells us how you don't even need a Bible to understand that God is amazing. That somebody who's never even been close to a Bible in their lives, you know, people are always talking about that person that lives out in the jungle in the middle of nowhere, that even that person can understand that God is amazing without ever having read a Bible or even seen a Bible. And it goes on to share thoughts along the same lines as Psalm 119 in this matter. And I guess let's go up to the beginning. It's written, Psalm 19 was one of the ones written by David. And it starts off, it says, the heavens proclaim the glory of God. The skies display his craftsmanship. Day after day they continue to speak. Night after night they make him known. They speak without a sound or a word. Their voice is never heard. Yet their message has gone throughout the earth and their words to all the world. God has made a home in the heavens for the sun. It bursts forth like a radiant bridegroom after his wedding. It rejoices like a great athlete eager to run the race. The sun rises at one end of the heaven and follows its course to the other end. Nothing can hide from its heat. And then goes in the verses we just read. The instructions of the Lord are perfect. I find it interesting that those are side by side. It said, the heavens declare God and his glory. The sun rises in one side and sets in the other, and nothing can hide from its heat. And then it says, the instructions of the Lord are perfect, and they revive the soul. The decrees of the Lord are trustworthy, and they make the simple wise. And the commandments of the Lord are right, bringing joy to the heart. And the commands of the Lord are clear, giving insight for living. Reverence for the Lord is pure, lasting forever. The laws of the Lord are true. Each one is fair. They are more desirable than gold, even the finest gold. They are sweeter than honey. Even honey dripping from the comb, they are a warning to your servant, a great reward for those who obey them. How can I know all the sins lurking in my heart? Cleanse me from these hidden faults. Keep your servant from deliberate sins. Don't let them control me. Then I will be free of guilt and innocent of great sin. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing to you, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. And that's all tied together, that the world around us declares God and that his law is such a good thing. And it's not, and it's just a good thing because it came from God. I mean, God is good and everything he makes is good. But then it also says that the effect that this law has on our lives, that everything that he's given us, the good effects that it has on us who obey it. And I remember a few weeks ago we talked about making resolutions back when the beginning of the new year. And probably one of the most popular resolutions, at least for churchgoers, is they want to read the Bible more, or read the Bible, period. And I guess we talked about how so many people fail in their resolutions and don't keep it. So maybe a good thing to look at is, what is your motivation for that resolution? Is it just because it's something you know you're supposed to do? Because, you know, you figure, well, everybody else in church is reading it, so I ought to read it too. Because, I mean, that might be one of the reasons that people fail, is because they're not motivated properly. And we know that, you know, most people don't keep the resolutions. And so the idea is, how do you make that? If you really want to keep it, if you want to read your Bible, if you want to do it on a regular basis and get something out of it, how do you make that a priority so that you actually follow through? How do you make it from just a resolution or something that you know you ought to do to something that you want to do, something that starts having the impact that it ought to have on you? I mean, it's a noble thing. It's a good Anybody that says I ought to read my Bible more, yeah, that's a good thing. It's a good resolution. But did you know that God never said just to read the Bible? In all Scripture, it never says read this. And when you look at the Bible, you know, there's never any strict instructions. We talk about reading through the Bible in a year. You know, that's a fun thing people try to do, or spend half an hour a day reading the Bible. You know, sit down and make sure you block out this chunk of time so you can read your Bible. It never says that that's how we're supposed to handle the Scriptures. Actually, the words that God used it, when it talks about getting into the Scripture and what we're supposed to do with the Bible, are much more intense than just reading. You know, because we sit down and we read books. Reading is for newspapers and novels and magazines and things like that. God wants us, when we open up Scripture and we start to read what God has given us, His inspired Word, He wants us to get the same kind of reaction out of the reading of the inspired Word as the people who were inspired to write it down in the first place. I mean, when you read Psalm 119, you hear how amazed this person was by God's law and how much it affected him. And in Psalm 19, how it brings joy and how it brings insight and makes people wise. When you read that, God intended for us to get that out of it as we read His Word. It's not just, you know, you read it, okay, I got that, I memorized some Scripture. God wants us to get as much out of it as those He inspired to put into it. Does that make sense? And so, I mean, if you've ever thought about it, John starts off, it says, and the Word became flesh. It talks about that the Word is what created everything. Everything that's ever been made was made by the Word. So it talks about, you know, Jesus Himself being the Word of God. But then all the time when we talk about the Bible being the Word, you know, that this is God's written Word given to us. And we sometimes in my mind, there's almost a little overlap in how those two things mesh up together. That there's God Himself who's the Word, or Jesus who is the Word, who became God in the flesh. But then there's God in writing. I mean, this isn't God. We don't worship the Bible. This is just a book. But the Scripture that's been inspired and given to us, there's something very special about this, the inspired Word of God. There's something very important about it. And the Spirit of God, God Himself, inspired men. It's the word inspired means to breathe in. And the Spirit, we talked about that a long time ago, about how Spirit is the same word for breath as it is for you know, how we understand God Himself. And His Spirit inspired people to put these words down on these pages. God Himself spoke through people to get what we have today in this book. And so that same God, that same Spirit who is the Word of God, who gave us the Word of God, and now we have this Word of God, that same Spirit that indwells believers helps us to understand these words. That same Spirit of God helps us to get the knowledge and the wisdom and the inspiration to live for God and obey Him. That it almost sounds like magic, but there's something very important and special and that ought to connect us with God's Word, that ought to inspire us to have the same kind of reaction. So I don't know if you've ever identified with that, if you've ever identified with what's been written and how some of the people felt about God Himself and about the things that God had done in their lives and the things they wrote in Scripture. I mean, I hope you've been able to identify that with those people. But I guess the question today is, do you feel the inspiration of God when you take His Word into your life? I mean, not just read it, but when you take His Word, when God is communicating to you through what He's written down to us, do you feel the inspiration of the Holy Spirit as you absorb the Word of God? And when you open the Bible, it should be so much more than just for reading. I mean, so much more than just to sit down, okay, I blocked out 15 minutes or whatever, I'll read this. It ought to be more, you know, when the Bible uses words about what we ought to do with Scripture, it's we ought to learn it. You know, don't just read it, learn it, meditate on it, and keep it. It talks about keeping the law, keeping God's Word, and to hide His Word in your heart. Hide His Word in your heart so you might not sin against Him. To hold on to it, to make it a part of who you are. It should be, I mean, that's really, when you talk about God's Word, it ought to become a part of who you are as a person. That God's Spirit His word given to you and His Spirit helping you understand it. And of course, reading is a good place to start. I mean, if you don't understand this, if you've never been in the Bible, if you've never identified with those writers, okay, start off by reading it. Just open it up, read it, pray about it, but just start reading it, get into it, and start to get to know God. If you don't know God, this is a good place to start. And so if you want to build a relationship with God, if you want to understand He's communicating to you, we'll open up His book that He's given to us and start hearing what He has to say. So reading is a good place to start. But as you get into it, as you start to hear God speaking to you through His Word, as the Holy Spirit helps you to understand His Word, it the real payoff comes as we dig deeper into Scripture and we actually start incorporating the Word into our lives. You know, we don't just read it, we start obeying it. We start doing the things that it tells us to do. We start living the way God tells us to live. And that's where the payoff comes, when we start applying what God's word is to us. And it changes who we are. And in Psalm 119, we can skip ahead now, which is, I mean, I'm sure most of you know, Psalm 119 is the longest chapter in the Bible. And really, it's not that long, but it's compared to all the other chapters that have been split up, it's the longest. And here's just a few more verses from it. Skip ahead to Psalm 119, verse 97. And it's about God's word. It's about the laws and the precepts and the instructions that He's given and how much they are, how good they are and how much they can affect your life. And here it says at verse 97, "Oh, how I love your instructions. I think about them all day long. Your commands make me wiser than my enemies, for they are my constant guide. Yes, I have more insight than my teachers, for I am always thinking of your laws." It sounds like he's writing about a new girlfriend. I mean, it sounds like somebody that's just, he's read this and he's fell in love with it and he's heard God's law and it's just so impacted him. He wants to think about it all the time. I am, in verse 100, "I am even wiser than my elders, for I have kept your commandments. I have refused to walk in any evil path so that I may remain obedient to your word. I haven't turned away from your regulations, for you have taught me well. How sweet your words taste to me. They are sweeter than honey. Your commandments will give me understanding. No wonder I hate every false way of life." This guy was affected by God's word. I mean, this guy's life was transformed by the law of God. He wrote this. So he was reading the Levitical laws and Exodus and Leviticus and Genesis and all those things that people go through, and they sometimes think this is kind of dry. You know, sometimes people will go through that book and they'll think, okay, it's a repetition of commandments and ceremonial laws and all these things. This guy read that and said, "I love it. When I follow God's law, I can't stop thinking about it. It's so good, and there's no way I could ever live falsely. There's no way I could ever live the way the pagans do, because this is so good. This law you've given me, God, is so wonderful." And the next verse, 105, says, "Your word is a lamp to guide my feet and a light for my path. I've promised it once, and I'll promise it again. I will obey your righteous regulations. I have suffered much, O Lord. Restore my life again as you promised. Lord, accept my offering of praise and teach me your regulations. My life constantly hangs in the balance, but I will not stop obeying your instructions. The wicked have set their traps for me, but I will not turn from your commandments. Your laws are my treasure. They are my heart's delight. I am determined to keep your decrees to the very end." So, you know, it's not like his life was always hunky-dory and everything's easy. He's talking about things are difficult, life is hard, people are attacking me, you know, and I have difficulties that I have to bear with, but I will never give up on your law no matter what. No matter how hard life gets, I will always stick to you because you make life worth living. And this doesn't sound like somebody who's just sat down and read the Bible for 15 minutes a day or whatever, right? And this is somebody that has incorporated what God wants into their life. But this is not a casual observer of God or a casual observer of God's word. This is a person deeply impacted by Scripture, by the word of God, by God's law, totally committed to doing whatever God asks, promising. He says, "I promised it before, I promise it again. to obey you. The same way a husband promises to care for and love a wife and to respect and serve each other. You know, a husband and wife, they stand up before the church most of the time and they make promises. I promise for as long as we live, no matter what we face, rich or poor, good or bad, no matter happy or sad, I will be by your side for the rest of my life. And so people make those promises. Some keep them, some don't. But the way it was meant to be, when Jesus said, this is your life is supposed to be connected to this person forever, and this guy says the same thing with God's law. I am connecting my life to you, God, and no matter what happens, rich or poor, sickness and health, good or bad, I will stick by your law. I will live it out because I know that it's best. So how about you? How are you affected by God's word, by God's laws, by God's inspiration to us? How would you describe your experiences in God's word? When you sit down to read it, do you get that out of it? Do you feel this? Do you understand it? Is your time in Scripture, is it intense? Is it joyful? Is it reassuring? Or is it just kind of idle time that you pass by, you read through it, and some people say, boring. Is that your experience in the Bible? And let me tell you, it's definitely not meant to be that way. It's meant to be intense and joyful and uplifting. But don't worry too much. If you're still stuck in the place where it's kind of tedious and you're not getting this, all hope is not lost, because it might help to take some time to think about what God's word is meant to be like, to think about what it's supposed to be like, to think about that it's not just supposed to be the tedium of sitting down, all the people that say, yeah, I should read the Bible more because I know you're supposed to do it. That's not what it's supposed to be about. This is supposed to be about connecting yourself to God, about hearing that. So the next time you sit down, you want to spend some time in the Scripture. Maybe you've got a time that you sit down normally every day, or maybe you need to start doing that. Next time you do that, pay attention to the impact that God is having on people, like the author of Psalm 119. Pay attention to the impact that God is having to the people that are in the Bible stories. You know, when I think about David and Goliath, think about what God's Spirit helped this little kid do in front of an army that was totally scared to do anything that this little boy was able to do. Pay attention to the things that God does in the people's lives of the Scripture and the Bible stories, and the impact that he's having. God wants to inspire you for his purposes. The same way that he inspired the Bible authors to write these words down so that they could be, you know, held for millennia, protected and passed down and copied accurately so that we could have the Bible ever since God first started giving this word to men so that we could have it. It's been preserved and protected. And lots of people have tried to wipe it out and burn it out of existence, but we still have it because God's protected it. So think about how God has inspired those people to write this down and helped people to protect it so that we could have it. That God wants to inspire you the same way he inspired those writers. He wants to inspire you for his purposes, to do things for God, for great things for God. Remember Jesus said, you've seen the things that I've done, you'll do greater things. God wants to inspire you, maybe not to write a book, but to do things for God's purposes. So think about, it's time to get a feel for what it means to find your calling in God. And you can start getting that out of Scripture. God can start speaking to you personally. Think about how your life would improve if the good things that you read about in the Bible were happening more and more in your own life. I mean, if this guy who wrote Psalm 119, if that affected him so much, think about how your life, how if you felt like this every single day, no matter what was happening, no matter how the hard things and difficult things that you have to experience, if you started feeling this way every single day in spite of all that, wouldn't that be good? So start thinking about that. Remembering that as you read God's word, you're supposed to get more out of it than just reading some words and spending a little time and then going on about your daily routine. This is supposed to affect how you live and who you are. Think about, you can use, you know, when you read Scripture, you can, when you're starting off, you can almost use like an if-then statement. If this, then that. And for example, in Psalm, back in Psalm 19, verse 7, it says, God's word refreshes the soul. So if God's word refreshes the soul, then as you read God's word, it'll help you become refreshed. It'll help rekindle your spiritual passion and your energy. It'll help you to have the energy to do what God wants you to do. It'll help you to overcome things like tiredness and depression and anxiousness. It'll help you, it'll help you to experience God at work deep down inside to change how you live. So as you read through and you see those words about how God's word is supposed to apply to us, or about how God has affected people, then think about how it should affect you. If God's word does this, then it should also do this in my life. If it does this in to these people, then it should also do it to you. Because God is consistent. God, he doesn't have any favorites. So if you start living for God and you start applying God's word to yourself, then you will have the same result. You will have the joy, and you will have the wisdom, and you will have the understanding. If you start living for God and start looking to hear God speak to you, you will have the same comprehension and understanding and effect on your life. That doesn't mean everything's going to go easy, just like this guy was writing. It doesn't mean life is, all of a sudden hunky-dory, but it means that no matter what goes through, you will still have that peace and that understanding and that joy throughout everything. So think about that as you read the Bible. And also, when you think about that, wouldn't that be, when people say, I want to read the Bible more, I know I should, wouldn't understanding how these people's lives were changed and how it affected them, if you were affected in the same way, wouldn't that be a motivation to read the Bible more? If you started getting some of these experiences that the people in the Bible had because of their relationship with God, wouldn't that be a motivation to then sit down and want to read more? I was just talking to my friend of mine yesterday, and he said he's such a great guy. He's got cancer, yet he calls me every week or so to pray for me. So that's awesome. But he said his wife was telling him the other day how, because he's been going through chemo and they've been in the hospital, she hasn't had her time in the Bible for about 3 days. And she said, I don't feel good. I miss it. I need to feed myself the scripture. It's like you have gone without eating for 3 days of God's word. I need that. And she had missed it. She wanted it because she hadn't had it. And so if you start getting the understanding of what it's like to have a relationship with God and the way that he can affect your life in such good ways, wouldn't that be a motivation so much better than just, I ought to read it more? So start looking for that motivation, that driving force, more than just to read scripture. Wouldn't you, if you felt these changes in your life and the joy and the wisdom and the understanding and the peace and the things that come from that, wouldn't you want to earnestly seek his word? Wouldn't you do whatever it took to make time to get that joy out of the scripture? Wouldn't you want to ponder and meditate and obey God's word? Wouldn't you want to do so much more than read? Reading the Bible is good. But the real impact comes when we experience the scripture, when we start applying this to our lives with the intensity that God wants in our lives, the fullness that Jesus talked about giving in life. Remember, he said, I came that they may have life and have it to the full. So when we start applying the things that God wants us to apply to our lives, we start getting that fullness of life, and that starts becoming a motivation that drives us to want more. To miss out. If we stop reading this, we think there's something wrong, there's something I'm missing, I need to go back to this. And to get back in God's word and keep building on that relationship, because it's more than just reading a book, it's building a relationship and hearing what God has to tell us. So if you want to understand it better, start looking for the ways that it affected other people, and then also understand that this was inspired by the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit wants to now inspire you to apply this to your life. And we understand God's word and we experience God's word as we apply it and obey it through the Holy Spirit who inspired it in the first place. I mean, it's God that's done all this work for us to make it easier. We just have to choose to go along with it. We have to choose to obey God's word. I mean, we make the choice to obey him. We make the choice to follow. We make the choice to crack this thing open and read it in the first place. But if we'll do those easy steps, God says, I'll help in every other way. I inspired this. I helped protect it. I can help you understand it. I can help you apply it to your life. I can help you obey it. You just depend on me and we'll get through this together. And so instead of just sitting down to read the Bible, try seeking and pondering and meditating and obeying, and start reading in smaller chunks. Instead of thinking, okay, I got to get through this in a year. If you want to read the Bible in a year, fine. But also take time to just read smaller sections and focus on them. And rather than spending a lot, you know, going through a whole bunch of scripture all at once, I mean, Psalm 119 is a long scripture. And this week I took time, you know, I would just read sections of it, a few verses or part of the chapter. And go slow. Take your time. Go, if you don't understand something, or even if you do and you want to understand more, go back and read it again. And check out a lot of Bibles. This is kind of fun for me. A lot of Bibles will have the cross references inside. So if there's a verse in the New Testament that is quoted from the Old Testament, it'll tell you where it is. Take the time to look up those cross references and go back and understand the interconnection between different parts of the Bible and between the Old Testament and the New Testament. And ask questions. If there's something you don't get, ask somebody who you know has read a lot of the Bible, and ask questions for God. Pray for guidance. I think every time you sit down to read the Bible, you ought to pray first. You ought to pray, God, help me to understand this. Help me to get this, because God's, I mean, it's the Holy Spirit that does this. So ask God to communicate to you through His Word, because that's ultimately the reason that He wrote it, that He inspired it, is because He wants people to understand it. So ask God to help you to understand it. In Hebrews, this is fun, Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, it says, the Word of God. And I love how, because this is another one of those places that it seems to cross over between the Word of God as Jesus Christ Himself and then the Word of God here, because it seems to apply in both ways. The Word of God is alive and powerful. It's sharper than the sharpest two-edged sword, cutting between soul and spirit, between joint and marrow. It exposes our innermost thoughts and desires. The Word of God does. So this, I mean, you can look at this as just a book, just paper and cardboard and glue, or you can start looking at it, what's been inspired here by God and protected by God and given to you so that you could understand and come close to God, that this Word of God is alive. And it's powerful, and it's sharper than a sword, that it can divide, it can, and it cut between your soul and your spirit, between joints and marrow, and expose your innermost thoughts and desires, that through this Word, God can do amazing things personally. So start treating it that way. Start when you don't just treat it like it's any old book. Start looking at this as a living and powerful thing. That has the power to touch you at the very core of who you are, to divide between those things that, you know, we like to sometimes come up with excuses and come up with reasons why we live certain ways or why we do things that we know we shouldn't do. We like to excuse behavior and kind of muddle things in our mind and try to ignore things that we know we should pay attention to. I mean, that's sometimes kind of easy to do in your mind, isn't it? This will help clear up that confusion. This will cut through the nonsense and help you get to the truth. This will help you understand completely what you ought to be doing and what you ought to be paying attention to. This is a living and powerful thing. So, and then Jude, just a couple sections in Jude. I mean, you can get this throughout the Bible, so I'm jumping around a little bit. Jude, at verse 17, here's a call to remain faithful from Jude. It says, but you, my dear friends, must remember what the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ said. They told you in the last times there would be scoffers whose purpose in life is to satisfy their ungodly desires. These people are the ones who are creating divisions among you. They follow their natural instincts because they do not have God's Spirit in them. But you, dear friends, must build each other up in your most holy faith. Pray in the power of the Holy Spirit, and await the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ, who will bring you eternal life. In this way, you will keep yourselves safe in God's love. So, I mean, this is a part of the scripture. It's not necessarily talking about the book or God's written word, but how this should apply in our lives. So you can see it in things like Psalm 119, and you can see it in things like this, in the instructions where it says that people in society are trying to cause divisions because these people do not have God's Spirit. But it's saying that those of you who do have God's Spirit should not be living that way. That you who live in the power of the Holy Spirit, that you should await the mercy of our Lord, who will bring you eternal life and who will keep and you will keep yourself safe in God's love. And it gets more exciting than that. In verse 22, it says, "And you must show mercy to those whose faith is wavering. Rescue others by snatching them from the flames of judgment. Show mercies to still others, but do so with great caution, hating the sins that contaminate their lives." So we're still supposed to reach out to the world and try to teach them what Jesus has commanded. We're supposed to go out and preach and teach and things like that, because we're snatching them out of the flames. You know, if you can grab someone, pull them out of the flames and have them turn their lives around to God. And so we're supposed to show mercy to everybody, that all the people who are living without God's Spirit. And we do that by rescuing them from the flames and by hating the sins and hating the divisions and hating the evil that contaminates and destroys and kills and tears people away from God. And you can read this over and over and over and not get much out of it. I mean, if you're really not looking for that, if you just sit down and read, you're trying to get a job done and check off a task, you can read this and not get much out of it. Or you can see God himself trying to encourage you. You can see God has inspired this word so that when you open this up, he wants to speak to you personally. He wants to connect with your heart and in a very personal way and encourage you and cheer you on and coach you to do the right things, to keep going, to not stop, to don't look back on your old life, to start doing things the right way. You're here to save lives, to snatch people out of the flames, to be inspired by God and to live by the power of Spirit, of his Spirit. So go out and rescue those people. Save them. The next few verses in the same chapter, in verse 24, it says, "Now all glory to God, who is able to keep you from falling away and will bring you with great joy into his glorious presence without a single fault. All glory to him who alone is God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord. All glory, majesty, power, and authority are his before all time and in the present and beyond time. Amen." If you stop to think about it, I mean, if you really think about what's going on here, the same God who inspired people to write these words is communicating with us through these words. It's the same God who put this down, who wants to speak to you. He gave his Spirit to all who belong to him. To anybody who truly belongs to him, he gives his Spirit so that he can communicate directly to you. Not just because you're reading the words you read, but directly to your spirit through his Spirit. And these words are a great way to connect. I mean, that these words are so much more than just words. This is a way to communicate directly with God through his Spirit, who's given to all those who believe and trust in him. So I don't know if you can see what this means, the importance of this, how vital this is to our lives. Let me read it again in verse 24. "Now all glory to God, who is able to keep you from falling away." God can help you do what you need to do. God can keep you from drifting back into things you shouldn't do. God, and with great joy, he does it. And he brings you into his glorious presence without a single fault. All glory to him who alone is our God, our Savior through Jesus Christ. All glory, majesty, power, and authority are his before all time and in the present and beyond all time. Amen. Forever, God has been glorious. And he always will be glorious. And to this one to whom all glory belongs, all majesty, all power, all authority belongs to him. And he wants to speak to your heart, directly to your heart through his Spirit, from his heart to yours. And he has made it as easy as opening a book. As easy as sitting down, "God, what do you want to tell me today? I want to understand you. I want to obey your law. I want to live for you. Speak to me." And he says, "Open the book and I'll speak to you." It's that simple. God wants to speak to you directly, and it's this easy. Stop reading the Bible and start being inspired by it. Start being affected by it. Start being impacted by it. Remember that we are meant to have a living relationship with God. And it's so, I mean, so much of this is full of reminders and encouragement and clear-cut directions and easy to understand things that we, things to look out for, things to look forward to. Everything that you need to live life for God is right here. And in these living and powerful pages, in 2 John, I'll read just a couple more. In 2 John, verse 5, he says, I'm writing you to remind you, dear friends, that we should love one another. This is not a new commandment, but one we have had from the beginning. Love means doing all that God has commanded for us to do. And he has commanded us to love one another just as you heard from the beginning. So he says in his word, in this Bible, that he's given us command of love. And it's been from the beginning that love means doing what God tells us to do. That people who say, yeah, I love Jesus, that means just you do what Jesus tells you to do. And it says in verse 7, I say this because many deceivers have gone out into the world. They deny that Jesus Christ came in a real body. Such a person is a deceiver and an antichrist. Watch out that you do not lose what you have worked so hard to achieve. Be diligent so that you receive your full reward. Anyone who wanders away from this teaching has no relationship with God. But anyone who remains in the teaching of Christ has a relationship with both the Father and the Son. So we want to have a relationship with God, a living relationship that's built up and that grows all the time, that we communicate. I mean, how you can't have a relationship if you're not in communication, right? So we pray, we read His Word, we try to apply it because we love Him. We're meant to have a living relationship, an ongoing connection with God that grows stronger and deeper and wider in God's love and is revealed through an outpouring of love for one another and by doing what God tells us to do. Notice that these verses aren't about reading. They're about living. And they're not about checking things off a list or going through the motions. They're about changing who you are and living a life that brings such great rewards. Remember, Jesus said, not everyone who calls to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. There's a lot of people who cry, Lord, Lord, who pretend like they belong to God. And it says, only those who actually do the will of my Father in heaven will enter. That comes out of Matthew 7. On judgment day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, we prophesied in your name, we cast out demons in your name, we performed many miracles in your name, but I will reply, I never knew you. Get away from me, you who break God's laws. So it's not the things that you do, it's the relationship that you have. And that causes you to do the good things, obviously. That causes you to live a life for God. If you have a relationship with Him, you love Him, obviously, in the same way the husband and wife. If you really love your husband and wife, you're going to be faithful, you're going to treat Him well, you're going to take care of Him. It's the same thing with God. If you truly love God, you're going to do the things God tells you to do. You're going to live a life that pleases Him. And it says it's not that you can do things externally without a relationship. You have to have the relationship, because you can do all those things externally and then come before me on judgment and say, Lord, Lord, look at all these things I did for you. And He can say, get away from me. I never knew you. We're supposed to have a relationship with God, and you can't have a relationship with you. Don't communicate. So pray and read your Bible, because it's important. That, of course, is the negative aspect to not obeying God. You know, that people come up, they haven't loved God, and there are plenty of warnings in Scripture. There are plenty of things that say, don't do this because you'll kill yourself with sin. But there are so many positives to encourage it. And when it comes down to it, anything, you don't need a college degree to understand Scripture. You don't have to have gone to seminary. You don't have to, I mean, as long as you can read, that's helpful. But you don't have to be an expert. You just have to want what God wants for you. You have to choose that you do want to follow God, and you start getting into this, because then His Holy Spirit can speak to you. You don't have to be, you know, Mr. or Mrs. Intelligent, because God will make wise the simple. If you start getting into God's Word, He makes you wise. He helps you to see the light. He helps to give you understanding. He opens your eyes, and God Himself will help you to learn whatever it is that you need to learn. And sometimes people can help you out, obviously. If you've got teachers or people that can help you to understand the Word or ask questions, that's great. That's wonderful. And then you should tap into those resources. And I mean, I've hopefully provided good insight to people as I've preached up here about some of the things that God has said. every now and again, but in truth, the Bible is its own best teacher. I mean, the God speaking through His Word, that's the best teacher you can ever get. Way better than I am, because God can speak directly to your heart. They make lots of Bibles with notes and reading guides and things like that. I mean, lots of study Bibles with little different things that people have written down, and those are great, but none of them come close to what God's own Spirit can teach you through His Word. And how much you can grow and how much you can learn. The Bible, you know, obviously it's not arranged like a textbook, you know, like something you'd go through in school. It's not like a dictionary or encyclopedia where you want an answer, so you look up, you know, A for aardvark. It's, you don't just go to chapter 1 and read everything about God and chapter 2 and that's everything about Jesus. In fact, none of the verses in the chapters are inspired. I mean, the numbering system, that there was no such thing when the people were inspired to write this down. They didn't write, okay, chapter 10, verse 1. None of that existed. That was added by man later on so that we could find things easily and look things up. So let me just give you a few basics to get into the inspiration of God. That we're used to reading things by paragraph because sentences work together, but as you read this, it could be that where a paragraph is split, it was never meant to be split. So those are things that God can help you to find. I mean, there are times I read through this over and over and over and learn new things all the time. I mean, I don't know how many times I've actually been through the Bible, but every time I learn new things because the Holy Spirit can inspire you to understand even a single word that you never caught before. And you're like, how did I miss that all these years? God can inspire you. So if you'd like to dig into God's Word with a new energy, with a new passion, with something that will help motivate you from the inside out, instead of just, well, I should, so I'll try, and then you give up. If you want to have a new energy and make it a rewarding part of your life, remember, it's not just a book. It's a living and powerful, inspired Word of God meant to connect you to God through His Spirit, through His power. So here's just a couple basics that might help you get what God's trying to teach you. Number one, pray first and pray throughout and pray afterwards. Make prayer a part of your Bible reading because it's supposed to be communication. Before you ever open up the book, ask for God's guidance. Ask Him to help teach you and help you apply His Word to your life and help this become a part of who you are. And pray as you read it and ask God to speak to you and teach you and help you to understand and help you to be more like Jesus. Every time you read something new, ask Him to help you apply it to your life. And number two, avoid reading the Bible to try to prove an argument. To avoid, you know, if that's your only reason for getting into it, you're missing it. If you're going back to look something up, that's great. But avoid, you know, personal bias makes it easy to take things out of context. So don't go into this looking to prove something to yourself or someone else. If it's already been proven by Scripture, that's great. But don't go into it looking to satisfy your own made-up judgment. I mean, don't be prejudiced as you go into this. Doesn't mean that you can't ask questions about things that might be confusing, or you can't, or that everything will be clear and easy the first time you read it. But be ready to accept whatever God tells you. You know, as clear as it is, a lot of people ignore some of the clear teachings. Be ready to accept it. Be ready to apply it, and say, God, no matter what, if it's true in Your Word, I'll take it, no matter what. There have been times when I've had to change my thinking because something in Scripture went against what I thought. So be prepared to have your minds changed by the truth of God's Word. And when you're reading, number three, when you're reading and you come across something that doesn't make sense, reread it. Go back again. Take time to dig into it. If it's the Word or a chapter or a whole book, if you still don't understand it, write it down. And continue onward, but then come back to it and look for the answers. It's certainly fine to ask other Christians what they think, but don't forget that God can teach you directly. And make sure you spend the time and go through it slowly and don't feel like you have to rush. And don't feel like you have to get it done in a year. Take the time to look at things and understand and look words up in the dictionary and read cross-references and go slow. And number four, don't read huge amounts in one setting. I mean, you can if you've gone through it over and over and you just want to read it for fun. That's fine. But be careful in taking in too much. It's okay if you want to read the Bible in a year. But if you want to understand it, you want to apply it, remember that that the point of Scripture is not to get through it. The point of Scripture is to apply it and learn from it and grow from it. So connect with God through His Word. That's the point. Be sure to take the time to connect through God, not just read. And so take a break if you need to. Skip a section and come back later if you need to. If you start losing focus, close it, say a prayer, come back to it later. It's by reading the Bible, it's not a race. See it as sitting on the porch, drinking lemonade, chilling out, relaxing when the sun's shining and it's not snowy, and soaking in everything that you can and making this part of a relationship and not just reading it to get it out of the way. I was the other day, because it had snowed and because there was nothing else we could really do, I was just sitting with Adelaide in a big, comfy rocking recliner that we have, and it was just so much fun to sit. We weren't doing anything. We're just sitting and relaxing. I don't know how much time you guys take to do that, but I think we ought to do that with God's Word, to just have a relaxing time to sit, enjoy the fellowship with God, enjoy what you can get out of it, enjoy what you can apply from it. And then number five, don't forget either testament. You know, a lot of people will tell you, well, start in the New Testament. Some people say start in the Old Testament because, you know, one's better than the other. Don't forget either one of them. They're both important. And they're both so interconnected. I mean, obviously, in the Old Testament, there's some ceremonial rules and things like that that we don't, that's been fulfilled. So, you know, we don't necessarily live by some of those ceremonial things. But there's still so much importance to them. We talked about that last week. So don't lose the interconnection and the importance of either testament. Take them in their historical context, but understand that they're both meaningful. And then number six, test all teaching, no matter where you hear it, even if it's the notes that are written in by other people in your Bible, test it all against the Scripture. Everything that I say from up here, everything anybody tells you from out there, test it against the Word. You might get new teaching from people, but if they don't line up with the Bible, reject it, because the Bible is the truth. The Bible is what we follow. So God can teach you new things, but He will never go against His own Word, because He's consistent. So if somebody's telling you something that doesn't go with Scripture, don't accept it. And the whole Bible supports itself. It was written, took about 1,500 years to complete it. All the different books that were written and compiled, it's been people, and there was over 40 men, I think, took about 1,500 years to put all these books together and have them completed. And it all matches up. It all, there's nothing conflicting in this Scripture. There's nothing that counteracts something else. It all makes sense as a whole unit. So be sure that as you're going through God's living Word, that it's not open for editing. God gave us what He wanted us to have, and it's not meant to be changed. It's as sure and as solid as God Himself. And so don't try to put your own thoughts into the Bible. Conform yourself to God's Word. And then the last one, number seven, remember, it's more than just a book. So do more than just read it. It's God's Word. It's meant to be connected with God and absorbed into your life and change who you are, made a part of who you are, so that you can be inspired to go out and do God's will. And so the next time you sit down to read this book, don't just read it, live it, absorb it, experience it, and do it, obey it, and find the full kind of life that Jesus wants you to have. When He talks about, I've came that they may have life and have it to the full, find that life by connecting with God, to take on a whole new perspective of God's Word, that it's so much more than just a book to be read. That the law of the Lord, that Psalm 19:7 is perfect, refreshing the soul. The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart. And the commands of the Lord are radiant, giving light to the eyes. So as you soak in God's Word, may you be refreshed. May your soul be refreshed. May your mind be made wise, and your heart filled with joy, and your eyes be filled with the light of God. May your life be changed as you read this book. Let's pray. God, we thank You so much that You have been so good to us in giving us your word and in giving us your law and writing all these things down for us to be able to have, that you preserved it, that you protected it so that we could have your word today. Help us to get so much more out of it than just sitting down to read it because we think we should. Help us to get to apply this to our lives, to obey you, to change the way we think and way we live because of your word. Help us to get the same sort of feelings and life out of the Bible as the author of Psalm 119 did, to just love it and want more of it and change our lives because of it and commit ourselves to you because of it and promise that no matter what goes on, that we will obey you and live your way because we love what you've given us so much. God, help us to do that. In your name we pray, Jesus. Amen.